Hey, this is Pastor John. And it's the 27th of January, 2012. The Webcast. Well, I got up this morning and the headlines was very plain on my AOL email. T.D. Jakes breaks down the Trinity. Addresses being called a heretic. Now, if you guys remember, it was me way back in, oh my gosh, in the 90s when T.D. Jakes was at Ajuan Bookstore, and I sent my apologetic crews, Eric Reamer and Tamon Pearson, down to the Ajuan Bookstore to interview T.D. Jakes on his Oneness Modalist Pentecostal deal. And we gave that to the then Bible Answer man, Hank Hinegraaff, and other apologists, and that's when the world discovered that T.D. Jakes is supposedly a Oneness Modalist Pentecostal, which is a heresy. That's what I'm going to address.
Hello.
They didn't want to talk. Well, that's what I'm going to address. And thank you for joining me for the webcast. I'm going to read the article, and the article is taken from the Christian Post. The Christian Post on the Church and Ministries on Thursday, January the 26th, 2012. So that's what I'm going to be discussing right now. And let me say this. I read the article, and I was well pleased with what I read. As a matter of fact, I like it. And, oh, I'm willing to take all the negative stuff off of my website about T.D. Jakes after reading this article. He's orthodox. Listen to this. Very interesting. Bishop T.D. Jakes, pastor of the Potter's House, a megachurch in Dallas, Texas, was put on the spot during a theological roundtable Wednesday in regards to his beliefs about the Godhead and why in some Christian circles he is considered a heretic. Jakes and a handful of other male leaders were invited to participate in the Elephant Room roundtable hosted and moderated by pastors James McDonald and Mark Driscoll. The Dallas pastor was hit with several questions about how his theological beliefs have developed, specifically in regard to the Trinity, a controversial issue which the Christian Post reported on in October. The Potter's House senior pastor denied that he clings to the modalist position, although he confessed that he did at one time in his walk with God. Now, that's a good positive statement. I kind of like that. I like that. When I read that, I said, well, now, I like this because, you know, I've developed through my years of Christianity, and all other people do too. But listen to this. Modalism is a third century teaching accredited to theologian Sibelius, who purports that the members of the Trinity are not three distinct, eternally coexisting persons, but that instead God, a singular spirit, discloses himself at different times in three modes, a doctrine espoused by Oneness Apostolic Pentecostal and United Pentecostal Church International denominations. And this is true because this is exactly what T.D. Jakes gave my staff when they went to ask him the question to define the Trinity so many years ago. During Wednesday's Elephant Room conversation on the majors of Christian doctrine, Jakes explained where he falls on the issue. And this is what I like about Jakes' statement here. He says, "My father was a Methodist and my mother was a Baptist," he explained. "I was raised in a Baptist church, but I didn't really have a real committed experience with Christ until my father died. When my father died, I had a real experience with Christ, a real conversion with Christ, and I had it in a oneness church. Then he says the minister emphasized to Driscoll that the Pentecostal congregation he was referring to, which he pointed out was a UPCI church, was home to Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, believe that he died, rose from the dead, and coming back again, all the same things that you do. Now here's a quote, and he says how they describe and explain the Godhead in traditional oneness sense is very different than how traditional Trinitarians describe the gospel. I was in that church for a number of years, Jake says, and was raised in that church for a number of years. Then he goes on and says, as I began to progress, I began to understand that some of the dogma that I was taught in the oneness movement was very dogmatic, very narrow, and not the very best description of how I now understand the Godhead, he continued. Now that's a statement that gets Jakes out of the hole. Since he made the statement, I'll accept that. Then he says that my struggle as I was ordained in the Oneness Church was in several passages. Sometimes the doctrine fit, sometimes it doesn't. When the doctrine becomes a primary thing, you force it into fitting into places where it doesn't fit. I really, at this point, Jake says, in my life, don't want to force my theology to fit in my denomination. Then he refers to Genesis 1:26, Luke 3:21 through 22, and John 14:11, and other passages that he believes to point to Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit as having unique distinctions. Jake's reveal, that began to make me rethink some of my ideas and some of the things that I taught. There again was a very positive statement in the article, because he's rethinking what he was teaching. That's what a real Bible teacher does. He rethinks it. If he says something wrong, somebody brings it to him, then he rethinks it and states it. Well, when my staff brought it to him, he was in that mode. And that's why I responded the way I did, and everyone else responded the way they did, because we know that traditional Trinitarian belief in the Christian faith rejects that. So he goes on and says, I got kind of quiet about it for a while. He says, when you're a leader and you're in a position of authority, sometimes you have to back up for a minute and really think these things through. There again, positive statement by Jakes. I like that. Here's a man just opening up, telling it like it is. Driscoll, near the end of the discussion, pointedly stated, Jakes, if he believes the Bible is the, and here's the quote from Driscoll, the perfect, inspired, final authority of God, to which Jake responded, absolutely. Did you hear that? Because that is the way that a believer answers the question. If somebody says, do you believe, John, that the Bible is a perfect, inspired, final authority, word of God? Yes. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. You can have a gun to my head. The answer is yes. I believe that. Driscoll then posed several other creedal questions in quick succession, to which Jakes responded in the affirmative. Now listen to the questions, and then you be the judge yourself. That's why I love this article, and I just had to respond to it, even though I said I wasn't going to put up a webcast today. Have to put this up, and I'm going to make this perfectly clear. I like what Jake says. He says, you believe that there is one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. You believe Jesus was fully God and fully man. You believe that he died on the cross in the place of our sins. You believe that he bodily rose from death. You believe that he is the judge of the living and the dead. Then he asked him, you believe that apart from Jesus, there is no salvation. Jakes told Driscoll once more that there is very little difference between what I believe and what you believe. Now, there he didn't answer a positive affirmative, yes. But in that answer, there is very little difference I would like to know what that very little difference is, but still, not quite a good solid yes, but maybe that's just the way his disposition is in answering, so I'll give the benefit of the doubt. Now, here's another quote. For you, the issue between Trinitarian and modalism at its essence is one God manifesting himself successively in three ways, or one God, three persons simultaneously existing eternally. Your best understanding now, which you say is one God manifesting himself in three ways, or one God in three persons? Driscoll asked. That's what he asked. This is what Jake answered. I believe that neither one of them totally get it for me, Jake's reveal, yet expressing his agreement with the description of one God in three persons. Now, I like that too, because as a theologue, that's what you begin to do. You see, you're just having this discussion, and if anybody sat down at a table and asked me to define the Trinity fully, I would just tell them, man, I don't understand how that works, but I accept that because there are many places in the scriptures that teaches that adamantly, and I see it, though I don't fully understand it. So I accept Jake's answer again. Now, here's another quote coming up. Here is why I am there. And then he says, I am not crazy about the word persons. And Jake pointed that out in his original statements when he was into modalism. He said he's not crazy about the word persons. Most people who know me know that my doctrinal statement is really no different from yours, except for the word manifest instead of persons, which you describe as modalist and I describe as Pauline. Jakes insisted before quoting 1 Timothy 3:16. See, and so he's speaking as a free theologian, and he has a right to do that. And I'm digging the intelligence of his response here. All right, because I'm running it through my grid. Because here I am at 67 years old, going on 68 in a couple of weeks, and that's just the way I think now too. I'm thinking it through as a theologue. Now, then Jakes goes on and said, that is what Paul describes as a mystery, and I don't think that we should do that, the bishop said. Now, Paul is not a modalist, but he does not think it robbery to the divine, to the divinity of God to say that God was manifest in the flesh, Jake argued. So he's toying with the words, but when he says God was manifested in the flesh, if you're going to use that term, you want to look at the Greek term for manifest in the flesh. But I know where he's coming from. I do understand where he's headed with this. Then he says, when we start talking about that sort of thing, Jake says, I think that it is important that we realize that there are distinctives between the Father and the working of the Son. The Father didn't bleed. The Father didn't die. Only the person of Jesus Christ coming back for us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been with us, but only indwelt in the person of the Holy Spirit. So we are baptized into the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is consistent with my belief system. All right, good, good. Then it goes on. He added that we are taught in our society that if we disagree within a movement, we leave or we sever. I still have fellowship associations, Jake says, relationships and positions within and without oneness and Trinitarian movements, just like I have a communicative analysis with a lot of people in different denominations, though I totally disagree with them. So I agree with Jakes on this. He says, I believe, now this is a very important statement that he makes in the argument. He says, I believe that until we bridge the gap between our thinking and humble both sides, okay, I guess both sides of humble thinking is what he's talking about, and say that we're both attempting to describe a God that we love and that we serve and that we have not seen, and that we are viewing him through the context of Scripture, but that with a glass darkly, why should I fall out and hate, throw names at you, when all that I know and understand, be it very orthodox, is still through a glass darkly? Now that's very interesting statement. And when I read that statement, I just said, you know what? Okay. I give it that. Because you see, I don't want to come across as some, well, I'm still negative because you're rich and you have all this and I teach a small Bible study in my garage. No, I'm not coming across that way. I'm just listening to one man talk about his belief about the God that I worship and serve. And I'm going to tell you, I am impressed by what T.D. Jakes is talking about here. Jakes acknowledged that he is considered a heretic by many communities, including Oneness and Trinitarian circles. Yet, it doesn't bother him. I like that. Because you see, a lot of people will pick things at you because you're rich, because you have this. And some people have more money than other people have. I'm concerned about the way you got the money. And I'm not giving Jakes a free ticket to go. I'm not doing that because there's a lot of things in his so-called preaching methodologies and doctrinal things that I have difficulties with. I'm just discussing the Trinitarian mode here right now. And so that makes me very, very happy. And that's why I wanted to publicly come out and say it today before people start sending me emails about this and say, did you read this? Of course I did. I'm up early in the morning reading this. So then he goes on and says, yet it does not bother him, as he is more focused on the body of Christ, working as one unit in love. Well, I have to define who the body of Christ is, because I'm looking at evangelicism now and we ain't all working in nothing. I say we're working, they're working in cohort in a business. And so let's call that what that is. That's not Christianity, that's a business. But I'm just addressing the Trinity. Despite disagreements, Jake says, the one thing he asserted that Christians have the power to do but fail to accomplish. No, we're not going to come together when you saying things that are wrong. Just like if I say things that are wrong in the ministry that God has given me, I don't expect you to come together with me. Not really. Then he says, I think that the time has come for us to be willing to take the heat to have a conversation. Because if we do not do this, and we continue to divide ourselves by ourselves and compare ourselves with ourselves, we do it at the expense of decreasing numbers of new Christians in our country. We have to mobilize, he asserts. Now, I'd like to know what he means by that. Because decreasing numbers, it's not about growing numbers. And you don't assume that the country is Christian. And so I disagree with that. And he says, we have got to learn how to talk to each other or we're going to die. The megachurch pastor insisted. Talking to each other, we're going to die? No, I think we should talk with each other and find out where the other person is coming from. But talking together and dialoguing, coming to consensus, does not mean that we're living the way that Christ wants us to. We have to be very careful, because that's conciliatory language. That's the language of compromise. And so right there, I would ask for a clear definition on that. I would have made this statement in this way. When he says we have to learn to talk to each other or we're going to die, I would say, you know, it's good for us to have these discussions, for you to ask me to clarify what I believe about God's word. And then it ends about right there. Then the article says that the Elephant Room discussions were first organized in 2011 by McDonald, senior pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel in Chicago, and Driscoll, who heads the Mars Hill Church in Seattle. A lot of controversy started with that also. And I just thought that I'd share that with you. I thought it very, very interesting when I went to my email and saw that. So there it is. Pastor John's take on that. I'm relatively pleased with Jake's change of heart. I guess we can call it that. I'm pleased. And I hope that it turns out to be what it ought to be. So there it is. So I'm going to go to my website right now and start making the changes there and look at it in a positive note. T.D. Jakes is Trinitarian. Let it be said. Let it be done. That's why I'm playing happy music. I'm elated. Is he a brother in Christ? Are you a brother in Christ?